Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Czechoslovakians, 1, 2, 3.
Just the Slovakians?
Czechoslovakians.
Why do we need to check on Slovakians?
It's just,
what are they doing? Is this a new Biden war?
No, it's Free Talk Live.
Oh, okay.
That's right. Live from New Hampshire, it's Saturday night. I don't know why I keep doing that. I should probably stop. But I am a fan of old school Saturday Night Live. You know, like Gilda Radner.
Okay.
Chevy Chase era.
All right.
Dan Aykroyd.
I've seen replays of those on my Comedy Central.
Eddie Murphy.
Yep.
As Mr. Robinson and Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood. Classic stuff, man. Just still funny today, too. I remember he was doing an episode of Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, and Mr. T shows up.
Nice.
Right? And he sort of like, you know, breaks down a door, you know, I pity the fool who doesn't listen to Mr. Robinson, right? And then Mrs. T shows up, right? Who's just like this skinny character, right? With the mohawk and the chains and all that stuff, trying to act like Mr. T, right? I don't remember who the actress was that played it, but it was just classic stuff. Anyway, it is
Free
Talk
Live. Gumby?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Also... they used to do these, like, cartoon shorts. And,
the Ambiguously Gay Duo?
That's the one.
Yep.
Yeah, that still sticks in my head.
Yep.
From back then.
That persisted onward, because, I saw those episodes in reruns, but I also watched the live show during, like, the Will Ferrell era. Those are always good.
I remember seeing, Dexy's Midnight Runners as the special musical guest.
Okay.
Now, Dexy's Midnight Runners were a one-hit wonder out of the 80s. They had one song called Come On Eileen. And, you know, it's this, you know, sort of semi-rock tune, you know, with a pop vibe to it, whatever. And it was very popular. Got a bunch of airplay. Everybody, when that song came on, everybody started shaking their booty. It was very catchy.
I can hear it in my head as we speak.
Big hook and all that kind of stuff. One of the absolute worst performances on Saturday Night Live of all time. The dude obviously had no business singing whatsoever.
Okay.
Out of tune, out of key, forgetting words, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know. And, like, the band wasn't, they were out of sync in ways, and I was just like, what a horrible rendition of this song. I never want to hear this song again. And so, yeah, I remember that. Anyway, 603-283-6160 is the telephone number. It is Free Talk Live, talk radio that you can call in and talk about whatever's on your mind. We're going to talk about some stuff, and we generally talk about things from the perspective of peace, freedom, liberty, prosperity, stuff like that. Very libertarian/anarchist from a political point of view, if you want to call it that.
I don't know. Is it? Pre-show, you're like, you might have to change your definition of libertarian.
Because I'm punctual. I'm serious, man. Like, I have
being late an act of aggression, Captain?
I don't know, but...
Should we introduce the clockless mountaineer while we're on the top?
Yeah, in the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Clockless Mountaineer.
And?
Richie Wrench.
We are... I don't even actually know if we're expecting Peakless to show up or not. He was having... He got his vehicle stuck somehow, and then some stranger, like, you know, helped him out. And so then I was like, so are you on your way? And we don't actually know. So we'll see what happens. If not, we'll just proceed.
He mentioned the goodness in natives. And I will say this... I don't think I've ever been voluntarily late to the show.
Okay.
There was one time that I almost didn't make it exactly on time, and that's because I was doing a favor for Ian by grabbing his food at dinner before. He's like, bring me a plate. I'm like, sure thing, bud. You know, and the restaurant held me up, and I hustled as quickly as I could.
Yeah.
But there was also time that on my way here, like, my car broke down, and there was no chance of me making it.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't going to happen. But while I'm sitting there, I think it was like winter time or fall, about this time of year, almost this time of year, as I'm sitting there on the side of the road, like, waiting for the AAA and the ride to come get me, a handful of, you know, good citizens, good Samaritans stopped by to check on me. So grateful for that, and can support Peakless's, you know, the people around here are generally good in those types of situations.
Yeah, for certain. But back to the libertarian thing, like, there's a joke amongst libertarians that's it's called LST, that's Libertarian Standard Time. And basically it just means, 15 minutes late.
Yeah.
Up to, you know, thereabouts.
Right? Just set it for 15 minutes later, man.
And I don't know. A long time ago, I became a punctual person. It has helped me tremendously in my career, in working for others, because it helps me, you know, make more money, get promoted, you know, that kind of a thing. Because if you show up all the time, right, that's... Like, so many people just have it so wrong. It's like, just show up, man. Like, that's most of having a job, is just showing up. Like, a job will tolerate a whole bunch of stuff from you as long as you're showing up consistently.
Yep.
It can depend on you showing up. And then, if you can be punctual on top of that, right, that's going to get you noticed.
Yep.
There is this sort of false thing that happens in the corporate world where the appearance of... working hard gets you promoted over production. Okay. So there might be a guy who's more productive than I am. In other words, has more output, better quality output than I do in the same position. But because I would be on time and be consistent with my attendance, I would get the nod for a promotion over that guy.
Right.
It happened to me a couple of times. And that was the very specific reason that was, you know, told to me as to, you know, why I got the nod over the other guy. So another person can do the same job better than you, but if they are inconsistent in their timing and inconsistent in their attendance, well, then, you know, you're going to have to deal with that.
Well, and part of that, I would imagine, is the reliability of management, right? Like, they have to be there before and stay later. And so even you may not be the best on the production line, but if you're early and stay late, right, you make up for that by being able to manage the production line, as opposed to the production line going, where's the boss?
Right. You know? Right. So, anyway, I tend to be more punctual than, well, libertarians in general. I'm usually early. To me, if I'm on time, I'm late. This goes back to something called Lombardi time.
Yep.
This is Vince Lombardi, the famous coach of the Green Bay Packers football team, who set the clocks so that if it was 7 o'clock, it was really 6:45. So he gave him a 15-minute difference.
Yep.
And, you know, said things like, well, if you're on time, you're late. Right? So he wanted all of his people all the time to be early before everything.
I tend to think of it as just being respectful of who you're meeting, right? Like, your time is valuable, their time is valuable.
Well, and also, I like to get prepared for the day. I don't like to, like, rush in at the last second.
Yeah.
You know, if you're doing an hourly thing, you got to punch
work
in.
That's work-related. I'm just talking about, one thing that libertarians ought be good at is keeping their word.
Yes.
Right? And if I say to you, I will meet you at 7, and then I break my word... Right, that should reflect poorly on me in all other relations. And if we're going to have a reputational score or social credit, that ought factor in as well. Right? Does he do what he says he's going to do, or not? Right? And if not, does he make excuses? Oh, well, this happened and this happened and this happened, or does he just apologize for being late and offer a remedy?
Yeah.
How can I make this up to you now that I was, you know, disrespectful of your time?
I remember Derek J, a longtime host here at Free Talk Live, went on to start AnyPay
yep.
and that kind of thing. he used to say all the time on the radio that as a libertarian, anarchist, voluntarist, whatever it is he claimed to be, that he wanted to be consistently principled.
Yes.
Right, across all his life. And that starts with just being consistent, right? It's hard to be consistently principled if in the rest of your life you're inconsistent.
Yep.
So the first step to becoming consistently principled is to just become consistent. Now, some people are consistent in that they're consistently late or whatever, right? You know, they're dependably undependable. That is a form of consistency.
Yep.
Right?
But then you don't count on them for anything important.
Right. Or you do things like, I'm having a party at 8 o'clock, and it's really not going to start until like 8:30.
Sure.
Whatever. That type of a thing. You compensate for their
But then you get people like me who hear that and shows up at 8 o'clock because that's what time it starts.
Well, yeah, but then you get like, premium choice of the seat and premium choice of the food and, that kind of stuff, too. There are benefits to being early or at least on time.
On the monthly Manchester meetup for the New Mover Party,
there's
only been two occasions in like the 5 years that I've been here where I didn't get my seat at the table. Like I'm like Norm at that place.
I always got the corner.
I showed up 5 minutes late one day and someone was in my spot, so I sat on the other end of the table and someone was like, "Why are you sitting over here?"
Yeah,
like, 'cause that person is in my seat. I'm not going to kick him out because, it's first come, first serve, whatever. But remarkably consistent.
All right. So, because we're talking about principles and libertarians, this from FEE, 3 principles for libertarians in times of war.
Ooh.
Now, I'm not sure what they're saying war is. Now, there seems to be an argument within the United States about, well, we're not at war because Congress hasn't officially declared a war.
Oh,
right.
Okay. We're in an entanglement.
However,
it's a kinetic military action.
Yeah, to me, like, war actions equal war. If the United States government is bombing brown people, which they're still doing today, people don't talk about it much anymore. The news just sort of breezes over it if they mention it at all. But it's still happening.
Well, they didn't declare it, but they've got the war on terror, the war on drugs, the war on poverty.
Yeah.
They have all these different wars that they will label.
And then they're funding and training other people to also do warlike actions. Yep. So does that mean that, to me, yes, that's all war.
Yep.
To me, that's all war. So anyway, siding with freedom, the subheadline here, means siding with peaceful individuals and not nation states. The ongoing conflict between Israel and Hamas, that's what I'm calling it.
Hamas. All right.
I heard a British.
Most but.
I heard a British broadcast. And the fighting between Israel and Hamas, and I'm like, Hamas. Yeah, okay. Seems to have brought out the worst in many people on both sides, not only in the sense of bloodthirst, of which there is sadly plenty, but also in the sense of letting emotion get in the way of clear moral reasoning. To a lesser extent, the Russia-Ukraine conflict has led to similar results. From the depths of social media to the heights of the ivory tower, the takes people have proffered on these conflicts have been straight up wild. Even those who are otherwise quite good on a lot of issues seem to have left their moral compass at the door when weighing in on this topic.
Is the Russia-Ukraine thing winding down? Do you get that feeling?
I don't think it has changed really at all, other than I could see why many people might get that feeling, because the people have taken down their Ukrainian flags off their Facebook profile or their Twitter or whatever, right? No one's really talking about that anymore. What I didn't see, though, was a bunch of people putting up like an Israeli or a Hamas flag, Hamas flag on their profiles, right? Like, how come they didn't do that? How come they're not supporting them in that way? If they think that changing your profile pic on a social media platform is somehow supporting something, why didn't they follow suit?
I mean, that one's a little more tenuous, right? the reason I asked...
Again, be consistent. Yeah, that's all I'm asking, right? Like, if you're consistent, then people can consistently depend on your action.
Yeah.
But if you're inconsistent, then, why should anybody ever believe anything you do?
Because of the Israeli Hamas thing, The vast majority of people in that conflict would like to support the aggressors.
Either way, like, put their flag up, right? Okay. You know, like, if that's what you're going to support and that's your symbol of support,
all right,
right?
You know, that's fair.
Like, where's the little circle around your face with, like, yeah, no, I support the Hamas or I support the Israelis or whatever it is?
I get it. Because if you put that up against the Russia-Ukraine thing, they're on opposite sides of the aggressors.
It's so hilarious.
But the reason I bring up the Ukraine thing is because I keep seeing articles where, you know, there's fatigue on the American side to fund it, and they're you know, planning on not funding it anymore, or, you know, they're not giving Ukraine as much.
Yeah.
And then I don't want to fall into the sunk cost fallacy, right? But it seems as though there's so much sunk cost in it, right, that could have just not contributed to the inflationary pressures at home.
And the debt.
And debt, if they had just not done that to begin with.
Yeah.
But wrapping it up sooner, okay, good. But what did all that spending get you, except for a prolonged war, more debt, more dead, and the same outcome?
I mean, the only other thing I can think of is a bunch of people changing their picture on their social media profile. Right, that's an awfully high cost to get people to change their profile picture on social media. The article continues. In the midst of the deluge of bad takes, libertarians have an opportunity and a duty. I don't know if they have a duty, but to bring genuine moral clarity to bear on these issues. If we can be cool-headed and principled, especially in times of crisis, we will be that much more respected and that much more closer to winning the hearts and minds of the masses. But what does genuine moral clarity look like when it comes to war? What is the libertarian take? Here are three principles to help libertarians navigate this issue.
I'm against it.
You're against what?
War.
Oh, yeah, I am. Certainly. Like, I'm against the state as an organization. Right?
Okay.
Government as an organization. Who are the ones who do war, right? In the absence of the state, you might have little skirmishes here and there.
There will always be conflict.
You might have the Hatfields and McCoys.
Sure.
Right? You know, a couple families that get into it or whatever. You might have some tribal stuff, you know, a la the, like, Native Americans, something like that. But it's never going to be on the level that states are able to wage war because, well, the states borrow money to wage war at the size and duration with which they commit to it. And without that ability to borrow, you can bet your babushka that them wars would be real short.
Yeah, I'm still, you brought that up before, I'm still not convinced
that
it has anything to do with the money. It's the power and the demand.
Well, we can get into that, particularly Clockless Mountaineer be replaced with a human.
Okay.
What
say you, Clockless Mountaineer? The time is.
So, number one, refuse to ignore, condone, or justify the slaughter of innocents. And being anti-war as I am, whenever there is slaughter of innocents, I try to speak up.
Yep.
Try to bring it up. There, of course, I'm not aware of everything that goes on, of all of the innocents that But when made aware, I choose not to ignore, I choose not to condone or justify it. I choose to call it out for what it is, wrong, immoral, unethical, whatever, you want to put on it. That is my stance.
Now, at the same time, you can call out the slaughter of innocents and also redirect blame where it ought to be placed, right? So I'm specifically thinking of, September 11th here in the United States, where there was a lot of quote-unquote innocents in the building.
Yep.
And then everyone wanted to blame, like, those dirty brown people over there,
right?
You know, hate us for our freedom. But in the 9/11 Commission report itself, it was blowback was the term they used for all of the aggressive actions that the United States federal government was doing in their country.
Yep.
Right. So you can condemn the act and go, but look, it's because the United States is interfering all over the world that they feel the need to retaliate. And if you don't, you know, if the United States government isn't doing those things all over the world, you'll create less terrorists and have less problems here.
For those of you new to Free Talk Live, I need to remind those who aren't that the United States of America is an empire. It is, in fact, the largest empire planet Earth has ever seen. It's got, I don't even know how many hundreds of bases now around the world.
Yep.
The largest military, the most money spent on military.
Well, that's what keeps us free, Captain.
By orders of magnitude.
If it weren't for the military, we'd be in a land invasion from Russia.
That's what keeps the empire afloat. That's what keeps the U.S. dollar, right? The U.S. dollar hasn't been backed by anything since before 1913.
Yep.
And then if it was sort of pseudo-backed by anything, that all went away. What, Roosevelt? No. FDR?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
And the going off the gold standard
right.
in the 70s.
So, the last remnants of the gold standard, I think, were wiped away in the 70s. And
the confiscation in the 30s.
Yeah. And so the United States dollar right now is only backed by the full faith and force, the violence of the United States military. That's why it still has, quote, value, unquote, because no one has yet, no other, you know, state or country or consortium has stood up to that.
Well, and my question is always, you know, how much value does it have to lose before you say it no longer has value? Because we're in like the 99th percent in the last over 100 years.
Just recently, too, with gold hitting its all-time high.
Right.
The $1 today is worth one penny, according to what it was worth in 1913.
Okay. So
99% of the value of the dollar has gone away.
So, but that's not enough to say, like, it doesn't have any value.
Right.
Like, we're a penny away from zero value, but it's still...
Well,
still considered valuable.
It's because it is the petrodollar, the world's trade currency, right? If you want to buy oil, you got to use United States dollars to buy oil.
But they're using a currency worth 99% less than it was initially.
Yeah.
Like who does that?
Yeah. So wait, does that mean that the $100 bill is the new one?
Yeah, it would be.
The $100 bill is the new one. 603-283-6160. We'll talk more about libertarian principles as they relate to war here on Free Talk Live. We've also got a couple other things in store tonight for you. So stick around. Give us a call. More coming up.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. The conflict between Israel and Hamas continues to escalate in the Gaza Strip, prompting the U.S. to emphasize the importance of prioritizing civilian protection by Israel. In an effort to address humanitarian concerns, a major crossing from Israel into Gaza is slated to reopen, facilitating the transportation of essential supplies like food, water, and medicine via trucks. The current death toll from the war has surpassed 18,000, with 140 individuals still held hostage in Gaza. On Friday, a federal appeals court in Washington, D.C. affirmed and narrowed the gag order placed on former President Donald Trump in his D.C. election interference case. The ruling restricts him from making disparaging remarks, specifically about potential witnesses and prosecutors involved in the case. Actor Ryan O'Neal has died. O'Neal was nominated for a Best Actor Oscar in 1970 for his role in Love Story and was nominated for a Golden Globe for his 1973 film Paper Moon, which also starred his daughter Tatum O'Neal. Ryan O'Neal died on Friday afternoon at the age of 82. Skip Kelly, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at gcnfreecbd.com. That's gcnfreecbd.com. Again, gcnfreecbd.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in and listening to tonight's edition of Free Talk Live. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Captain.
And Richie Rich.
Before we go on, I need to tell you that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. I actually used Dash at a website called defythegrid.com to buy some gold backs.
Nice.
Because they accept crypto. And I didn't know that they accepted Dash. I had previously made a very small purchase over there because I'm not wealthy using Bitcoin. But I know Bitcoin's at about 44,000 right around now, I think, is what it was before.
It's fluctuating around that, yeah.
Came to the show. And I know that when Bitcoin is on the upswing, the transaction fees escalate. And so I didn't want to get hosed by high transaction fees using Bitcoin. And I didn't even know that this website took more than Bitcoin. Just Bitcoin. And so, sure enough, there was a drop down at the checkout for, like, which type of cryptocurrency would you like to use?
Very cool.
So, and it was quick, and, like, it went through. I got an email from those guys. Yep, we got your order. You know, no problem with the crypto, that kind of thing. So, it's pretty sweet that way. Dash also, their transactions are instant, irreversible, and protected from 51% attacks by its Chainlocks technology. It's the world's first decentralized autonomous organization, and you can use it at BitRefill, bitrefill.com. I believe is the name of the site, for purchasing like gift cards. It's the holiday season. If you're doing any gift giving and you want to give gift cards instead of physical gifts, you can do so with crypto. Spritz.finance also allows for you to pay bills and even get some money into your bank if you need that for some reason. So it's easy to get, easy to use. It's also available in the Maya protocol, and you can learn more by visiting Dash.org. Big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. That's Dash.org. All right, so we barely scraped the surface here. We're talking about this article from FEE, F-E-E, which stands for?
The Foundation for Economic Education.
And its headline is Three Principles for Libertarians in Times of War. There was a bit of a lead-in, and the first principle was refusing to ignore, condone, or justify the slaughter of innocents. And so the article continues, there are better and worse ways to respond. Sadly, both sides in this conflict have been responding to the injustices committed against their people by committing injustices of their own.
Retaliation.
Further perpetuating the cycle of violence and giving the other side even more reason to lash out.
Who's going to stop it, though? Like, well, pick a conflict. The only side that, like, stops being violent is usually the side losing the fight to begin with.
Yeah.
And then you have to beg. You have to beg the other side to, like, stop being violent towards you because you couldn't muster up a suitable defense.
The answer is people. That is the answer. The people in the conflict. For whatever reason, human beings get worked up into a frenzy by, we'll call them political leaders, to go and kill other people.
Sure.
That they have no quarrel with.
Yeah. Okay.
The Israel-Hamas conflict is a religious war, as I understand it.
Fair.
And so there's a little bit of, you know, well, they're not my religion, and you know, they're killing us, so we're going to go kill them. And it's like this, it has to be the people with the guns, the people with the bombs. They have to stop. They have to decide. Somehow, someone needs to get to these people. So I know they're not listening to this program. If they are, please put down your guns. Stop. Just stop. Stop fighting other people's wars. Stop fighting religious wars.
Sure. But there's an example, I don't have it in front of me, of some, you know, Polynesian island nation or something that was full of pacifists. And then they were invaded by, you know, an invading horde of oppressors or whatever. And because they're pacifists, they never fought back. And they lost like 95% of their population because the aggressors just wouldn't stop killing. They're like, well, if you're just going to sit there and, like, take it, then that's what happens. You know? If you lay down your guns and they don't lay down theirs, you get eliminated.
When both sides kill innocent people, both sides need to be called out. We can debate the relative degree of evil being perpetrated, but there is no room for selectively ignoring acts of aggression against innocents. The existence of evil within both parties should be acknowledged and condemned by all.
Yeah, there's a term for it, collateral damage.
Mm,
that's it. They don't even count. The innocents are statistics.
Yeah.
In war, their lives don't matter.
Yeah. So many people justify killing innocents with their argument that it's necessary for defense, and so the other side is really responsible for their deaths, too. For example, in response to a perfectly civil and even-handed comment from Piers Morgan expressing heartbreak for both innocent victims on both sides, Ben Shapiro opined, both are the fault of Hamas. But this makes absolutely no sense. Say a serial killer hides in an apartment building full of innocent civilians. Even if everyone were in complete agreement that the serial killer was guilty, dangerous, and deserved death, would it be moral to bomb the building, killing the murderer along with dozens of innocents? Clearly, this is ridiculous. In this misguided pursuit of defense, you just became an aggressor yourself.
It's ridiculous, but we've read stories on this show of cops doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, he ran into that house.
Yep.
And then they murked the whole house.
Yep. Chuck a couple grenades in there, right, or whatever. Yep.
We're going to blow up the house to get the one guy rather than just wait it out. Who's got time for that? We've got grenades.
All right, moving along, let's go to number two. Stand with individuals and not collectives. This is something that I see, we'll call them self-proclaimed libertarians, violating frequently.
Okay.
Libertarians believe in individual rights and individual responsibility, and nowhere is this more important than in war. Regrettably, collectivist rhetoric dominates these discussions, such as when entire people groups get called aggressors or defenders. So what is the individualist alternative? Simply put, we condemn the aggressors, that is, the individuals who are committing identifiable acts of aggression, whether on behalf of the government, terrorist organization, or other military group, or religion. I didn't put that in here. I'm adding that. Libertarians do not stand with one side of these conflicts or another. We do not stand with nations. We do not stand with tribes. We do not stand with governments. Rather, we stand with innocent civilians on all sides against those who seek to control them.
Okay. I want to caveat this because I don't know if I fall into this category of collectivizing. If you put on the uniform of the aggressor, you are no longer an innocent.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I don't know that that's true, factually speaking.
Well, then it's my opinion.
Because, like, you may put on the uniform, but until you actually commit aggression.
Yeah.
Right? I think you're still an individual, or still an innocent at that point.
Okay.
Right, you might be thinking about it. You might be like signing up for it. You might be like, "Yep, gonna go and kill me some of these enemy people, and I'm gonna put on this uniform to go and do it."
So, by the system's own definition, a mob is a single organism. If a mob is chasing down an individual, and the individual defends himself by firing at the mob, and you are part of the mob who committed no act of aggression toward this individual, you don't have a claim against him because you participated in mob violence.
Angry mob chasing after you is not an act of aggression?
Well, who committed the act? If you're just a member of the mob.
Well, the mob is aggressing. If an angry mob is chasing after you, that is an act of aggression.
Okay. But there's no one member of the mob that's committed any act of violence yet. They're just walking down the street with the mob.
I see your point.
Right?
Murray Rothbard brilliantly exposes the collectivist mindset of war in his book For a New Liberty. And here's a quote. With the land area of the globe now parceled out among particular states, one of the basic doctrines and tactics of the rulers of each state has been to identify itself with the territory it governs. Since most men tend to love their homeland, the identification of that land and its population with the state is a means of making natural patriotism work to the state's advantage. If, then, Ruritania is attacked by Waldavia, the first task of the Ruritania state and its intellectuals is to convince the people of Ruritania that the attack is really upon them and not simply on the ruling class. In this way, a war between rulers is converted into war between peoples, with each people rushing to the defense of their rulers in the mistaken belief, I want to highlight, mistaken belief, that the rulers are busily defending them.
Sure.
This device of nationalism has been particularly successful in recent centuries. It was not very long ago, at least in Western Europe, when the mass of subjects regarded wars as irrelevant battles between various sets of nobles and their retinues.
Well, again, when it comes home to your country, because the governments of the opposing side attack innocents, then it is against you. They're killing innocents trying to get at the government. Sure, but you're not safe. Your government's clearly failed in protecting you.
Well,
do you defend yourself?
Saying it's my government is overstepping, I think.
Well, there then for the people and their government.
Yeah, the government that claims ownership over you.
Right.
Is a more accurate
term. Like the attack on the innocents, right, semantically is an attack on the ruling class.
Yeah.
But it killed the working class.
Yeah.
So what is the working class going to do? They're supposed to be protected by their government.
Well,
the government failed to do supposed to be whatever. If you want to get into semantics, we can.
Well, I'm just saying that's the general thinking. That should be a lesson to individuals: is that your government does not protect you.
Okay. So how do you if we're going individual on individual?
Yeah.
How do you hold accountable the pilot or the guy with the button that dropped the bomb?
These are very good questions.
That's why you can't do it on an individual basis. You put on the uniform, you're part of it.
Later in the book, Rothbard eviscerates the idea that a defender state has any right to defend itself from an aggressor state. The idea of entering a war in order to stop aggression is clearly an analogy from aggression by one individual upon another, Rothbard writes. Just as Jones has the right to defend himself when Smith beats him up, many argue a defending state has an equivalent right to wage a defensive war when it is invaded by agents of another state. It also follows that other countries can intervene on behalf of the defender state, since this would be the equivalent of police action. But aggression only makes sense on the individual Smith-Jones level, as does the very term police action. Rothbard continues, these terms make no sense whatsoever on an interstate level. Why is that? Rothbard lays out his reasoning in no uncertain terms. First, we've seen that governments entering war thereby become aggressors themselves against innocent civilians. Indeed, become mass murderers. The correct analogy to individual action would be, Smith beats up Jones, the police rush in to help Jones, and in the course of trying to apprehend Smith, the police bomb a city block and murder thousands of people, or spray machine gun fire into an innocent crowd. This is a far more accurate analogy, for that is what a warring government does. And in the 20th century, it does so on a monumental scale. By any police agency that behaves this way itself becomes a criminal aggressor, often far more so than the original Smith who began the affair.
Okay, so now you have an aggressor police state.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there.
An individual in the aggressor police state commits an act of aggression. He runs back into the collective, right, of his police state cronies. How do you hold them accountable? On an individual level. Give out the number. I want to know.
603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in, if you want to answer Richie Rich's question for him. Even if the Smith-Jones analogy is granted, Rothbard is saying the proponents of defensive wars have no case. The very analogy they appeal to in order to justify their position actually undermines it. There's a little bit more here about this one, but I want to move on to the third one, just in the interest of time today. Number three, champion non-interventionist foreign policy.
Yeah, that one's easy.
This is, I mean, I can't, I've got to be a broken record on the show by now by going, the United States has no business funding anything outside of the United States. They don't even have any business taxing everybody inside the United States, much less taking the money that they've stolen from you and giving it to other countries for the use of war. Giving them weapons, giving them ammunition, sending people over to train them on how to do war, be warlike, and all that kind of a thing. It is just no one's business.
Yep.
They should stay out, allow other people in other lands to figure stuff out for themselves. There's no need to build an empire.
Well, we are safer here at home, Captain, if we get to pick the rulers of other countries who are favorable to America.
You're still violating the NAP.
I got it. Not everyone's a libertarian.
I know. But this story specifically is three principles for libertarians surrounding war. America has a long history of non-interventionism. Do they?
No.
Wow, what a unfactual statement. I mean, perhaps they do up until 100 years ago, you know? The country's only, 250 years old, something like that, you know?
I don't know how you can be at war for like 90% of that and have a long history of non-intervention.
Yeah.
You're intervening somewhere. The war of northern aggression.
The article goes on to say, interventionism has many issues associated with it. Okay, I can get down with that. First, when a government intervenes in a foreign conflict on behalf of one side, millions of taxpayers are forced to fund an initiative they deeply disagree with. This is where the violation of the NAP comes in. Forcing anybody to fund anything that they didn't ask for, didn't give their consent for, is a violation of the NAP.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that support the war, though.
Great. Then they should get off their couch and take up some arms and get their ass over to wherever the hell it is they support the war at, and see how good they can do at it.
Or fund it.
Yeah, you know, pick up a part-time job and send all that money to, you know, your defender or offender of choice, if you want to help fund it. That's fine by me. Just don't force me to pay for any of it. Don't take any money from me or anybody else that, you know, hasn't given consent. Perhaps they are rooting for the other side, or perhaps they simply want no part in this conflict, regardless of their reasons for opposing intervention. The point is that they are being coerced into funding a cause against their will. This is simply unjust. People should not be forced to fund things, especially wars, that they don't agree with. If you personally want to get involved, feel free to do so out of your own pocket. We've covered this.
Well, they used to sell war bonds, too. That's we true. Need money for the war. Support your government by buying war bonds.
Man, I ran across one of these... It's like an old poster from like World War II or World War I. I'm not sure which one. But it was one of these. it felt very libertarian to me. It was like, hey, help us out, grow or start raising chickens in your yard. If every household has chickens in their yard, why, we'll be able to get through this wartime. And I was like, that's weird that they're like, at some point the government was like, yeah, you should like have some chickens. Get a garden going. You should be self-sufficient. Now the government doesn't want that at all.
Well, because at the time it benefited their war.
Right. So, yeah, it is interesting.
They'll cycle back to it if it's in their
interest. If it's in their interest, right, yes. But I just found that, I'm like, this is so bizarre. Like, government propaganda is...
It needs to be.
Yeah, yeah. At the time.
Yeah.
And if you take it out of time and put it into a different time, it's ridiculous. You're like, what the hell?
Who would believe this?
Yeah. But totally at the time, it totally what everybody bought into.
Future generations are going to look back at this one. Same thing.
Yeah.
How did you morons fall for this?
Oh yeah.
It was so obvious. In retrospect,
people say that about like Nazi Germany. They're like, how did they let that happen? It was so obvious. But I mean, look at what happened with COVID, man. That was almost global. What's the word I'm looking for? The phrase when the military takes over.
Martial law.
Martial law. Nearly martial law across the globe. Because all of these governments started doing the same things to their people.
Yep.
And fortunately, they didn't get any further than they did. I'm surprised they got as far as they did, but a lot of people were very outspoken. People I didn't think would speak out started speaking out. And I'm grateful for everyone who did speak out. I think it was, a long time coming. I think it took way too long for people to start speaking out and that kind of a thing.
The libertarian movement here, at least part of it, or individuals within it, were gripped by fear.
Right.
And so they all of a sudden came down on the side of the state.
Yep.
Saying, like, you dirty hippie libertarians, stop throwing your parties, stop congregating with each other.
Yep.
Because the state won't take their boot off my neck until you guys get in line and stay home.
Yeah, that's not how compliance works.
2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Yeah, open a freaking history book. At no time.
Or don't, because it's written by the winners.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Good guys always win in the history books.
The author continues, and if the coercive means of raising money isn't bad enough, consider what the money is being used for. These funds are being used, amongst other things, to kill thousands of innocent civilians. As such, the politicians and bureaucrats facilitating this fundraising are quite literally acting as an accessory to murder. People forget this about politicians all the time. They are accessories to every crime the state commits.
So let's go back to the innocence part of this article.
Mm-hmm.
If you are complicit in paying your taxes and funding the state's war machine,
mm-hmm.
are you really an innocent?
Well, funding in your context is via taxation, which is under duress.
It's under duress for, like, libertarians. There's a lot of people out there that are joyous in paying their taxes, which is why when protesters...
I've never met anybody who's like, oh, yay, it's tax time. Oh,
do you want me to find
a tweet? I get to pay my taxes.
You know, you want me to find a tweet of the rich people going like...
I'm not saying those people don't exist.
I wish I were taxed more.
I'm not saying those people don't exist, but I think they're few and far between. I think that the majority of people, at least in the United States... if they were told, hey, guess what, you don't have to file or pay taxes anymore, they wouldn't.
Okay. And outside of libertarian circles, you don't hear the taxes are the price we pay for civilized society more frequently than you'd like?
I mean, I haven't heard that in a while, but then again,
I run libertarian circles.
So, yeah.
Get out more. They exist.
No, that's why I came here. I don't want to get around that.
I get it. This is the problem. This is another problem with libertarians, right? At least here, we're so insulated within our own community. It's hard to see what's going on and what, like, you know, Mr. and Mrs. America think about things.
I've still got plenty of, like, we'll call them normie friends. Not in New Hampshire.
Okay.
In fact, I showed somebody back in the Seattle area a video of, like, one of the mass protests that we had here in Keene at the grocery store for, you know, not letting a disabled person in without wearing a mask or whatever. And they said, man, if you tried something like that in Seattle proper, I think you'd get shot. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live. Hour number two is coming up. Still to come, what's going on in Brazil?
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.